So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
My parents always wanted me to be a scumbag in a suit. Well, let me start over. They always wanted me to be a lawyer. And for the longest time growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. I thought, hey, that's a pretty good deal. But by the time I got to high school, I realized if I was going to be a great lawyer someday, I was definitely going to have to be a scumbag. Which I wasn't too keen on, but I know I have a great capacity to be. So I had an idea. I'll get a degree in English literature and philosophy, and I'll keep everyone guessing about it for a long time. And I went to St. Mary's University here in beloved San Antonio, and I didn't want to go at first, but my parents promised me a car. So blindly, without ever doing a campus tour, I went ahead and decided that's where I was going to attend. I'll never forget the first time I drove down Culebra. I was like, oh, what have I done? But I didn't like San Antonio at first. Don't get me wrong, I have grown to love San Antonio. And I knew that it's a place after college, or by the time I was done with it, that I wanted to work and live in. It's home now. Well, going to St. Mary's, I also started watching a show called Mad Men. Now, Mad Men is a show about a gentleman named Don Draper, and then some, but Don Draper is one of the main characters, and he's debonair, he's suave, he's handsome, he's got a way with words, he dresses to the nines, and, spoiler alert, he's a scumbag. So, watching this show, I realized, hey, you know, there's no way after graduation I'm writing a great American novel right after college. So maybe I can do advertising. I could use my skills and make some money and be just like Don Draper. But, well, that's actually what I tried to do. And I did it. And it was after St. Mary's that I got an internship in Houston. Ad agency, I was 21. The year was 2009, y'all remember. So I had a mentor at the time, and he taught me everything he knew. He taught me how to tell a story about a brand. It was in college I realized that, yes, I wanted to write, but in advertising, I wasn't exactly sure how. And under this internship, it wasn't in copywriting, but as an account manager. They are not creatives. They are suits. But this gentleman, my mentor, took me under his wing and he really taught me, hey, there's a different way to do this. And he also taught me how to drink. Because it was about 5:15 every day. I wanted to hang with the big dogs. So he'd send me downstairs. I grabbed a bucket of ice. I'd run back up. And from about 5:15 to 5:30, he'd pull out this bottle of Smirnoff 100. That's higher proof with the blue label, if you don't know. And he would tell me these stories about advertising and his past and how wild it was. And it really just enamored me to the point where I wanted to live this lifestyle even more. And so when I got back to San Antonio, I brought this lifestyle with me. And I was living a double life, definitely. I would go ahead and work my ass off by day, drink like a sailor by night. Nobody really knew what was going on, and I was living a double life in different ways. For one, I'm bisexual, so that's something I couldn't talk about on this account at this job. And it was a schism. And I lived like this for a while until I fell in love. I met somebody, like for real, for real. We lived in the same apartment complex. We met on one of those apps, and it was within about 5 minutes of hanging out that I knew I didn't want to mess around with this guy. I wanted something more. And I'll never forget that day, hours into hanging out, I had to turn to him and ask, is this a thing, or are we just broing out? because I was super confused and I never had that sort of connection before. I even had to call a friend afterwards and be like, dude, the weirdest thing just happened to me. I think I just made a friend. And like that, it shot off. Within a month, he moved in because millennials. And it was a night at Limelight, if any of you are familiar with it, that I'm usually the one to bring people out of their comfort zone. But that night, he brought me out of mine. And he introduced the lead singer to me after I was like really shy and didn't want to do it myself. And it was in that moment that I realized I'm in love. And he was going to change my life for better or worse. And so life was going on until one day after work, I got home and he wasn't there. If you know him, not totally out of the blue. But then a day passed and nothing. Another day, I texted, hey, what's going on? What's wrong? And then another day. And I was ready to say, fuck this. I was at work when he texted me and said, get home as soon as possible, I gotta talk. And I'd never driven that fast in my life. I walked into the apartment. It's sunny outside, but it's dark inside, super ominous. And he's sitting there on the couch waiting for me, asks me to sit. I say no. He asks me again, I say no. And then he says, please. And so I sat on a stool next to my desk because compromise. That's the moment he told me that he got a call and he got a visit there at the apartment. And that visit, he found out he was HIV positive. And he told me that he understood if I never wanted to see him again. And I told him, don't be stupid, because for better or worse. Life shot off again. And we decided to move on. And I met his parents and he met mine. Most loving family I'd ever met to that point. Puerto Ricans. Know how to drink. We made sure I was HIV negative and made sure he was on track to being undetectable and healthy. But as time went on, I wanted to know more. And he wasn't ready. And as time went on, I needed to know more and he was not ready. And I only knew one thing. The bottle. That was all I knew that could comfort me. And so, without any answers, I drank. And I drank more and more. And you get the point. It wasn't the DWI that sent him packing. It was everything else that came after that. I never drank again, but I was unraveling. I was falling apart. And I took it out on him. I took it out on a lot of people. And again, I only knew one thing. What would Don Draper do? And so I lied. And lied. And told everybody I was getting better. And told everybody it was okay. And told everybody all these things because I was, after all, a scumbag in a suit. Rock bottom is funny because it's not really rock bottom until you're laying there and then it falls through two more floors and you're in the mud face first. And it was at that point that I had lost a lot. I lost him. I lost the job I had at the time. I lost myself in so many ways that I can't even comprehend in how it happened. And slowly, because I was, well, I had no more bullshit left in me, I just listened. I went about my life and I went about the city, and if you know who I am or know what I do and you ever wonder why, well, This is the reason why. Because I had nothing left to tell. All I did was listen, went out, met people, and just heard their stories. And it's those stories that saved my life. San Antonio, which I hated when I first got here, saved my life. And it reminded me that I am not a scumbag in a suit. I am Gregory Valdez, and I am a storyteller. And so this is what I do. And this is how I got past that and how I'm here now today. And I promise that's what I'm going to continue to do, because it's those who are unheard that need it the most. Somebody to listen. And then maybe they can tell their story. So, just promise me this, everyone. Never, ever trust, never idolize a scumbag in a suit. And fuck Don Draper.